across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
And welcome back to Up North News Radio for this Monday, October 23rd. Coming up, we're going to talk to our friends from Motherhood for Good, and they'll be joined by Senator Kelda Royce to tell us how, while it's a good thing, Governor Tony Evers provided a reprieve to child care providers by temporarily saving the Child Care Accounts program, only the legislature can fund it to a sustainable level. And as Senator Royce will tell us, Republicans in the state Senate are not feeling particularly charitable as we talk about some of last week's votes that they took last week. Also, Civic Media News Director Terry Bell has three things you should know to start the week, and Selena Heller is with us now on this October 23rd, which means on the calendar here it is National Boston Cream Pie Day. No, I'm a no on Boston Cream Pie. Yourself?
You're a no.
Yeah, I'm a no.
I could go either way.
Take it or leave. It's National iPod Day. We've already established that you never owned an iPod.
Never.
It's National Mole Day, not the animal, the chemistry algorithm. Do you remember moles in your chemistry class?
Oh my gosh, that is not the first thing I would have thought.
No. And I've long since, I have no idea. I have no concept of what that was anymore.
6.02 times 10 to the 23rd.
I'm sorry, Sam. What?
One mole is it's like a number, like pi or e or something. One mole is 6.02 times 10 to the 23rd power.
First off, did you really know this?
Yeah.
Why?
And second, yeah. Why are you working in a radio station when you have that kind of wizardry going on?
I'm a bit of a hobby chemist, I guess. A tiny bit.
And you need to know a mole?
I don't need to. I just like, it's just something I remembered from when I was in high school, I guess.
It's just there. You know, it's like 70s song lyrics to me. Just one of those things.
Exactly.
You can't hit control alt delete on that. It's always going to be there. And then last but not least, and Kristen Lyerly promised to do something about it today. Mm-hmm. Today is Slap Your Annoying Coworker Day.
Oh, geez.
Which cannot be a real thing, obviously, because this would also be National Human Resources Director has to write you up day. But apparently it's a day to think about that annoying coworker that you have to slap upside the head. And that's where I'm very thankful that Dr. Lyerly and you and everybody else that works with me is a safe distance away so that you know I can continue to say whatever it is I want to say and not pay any physical price for it anyway.
I've never thought about doing that, so you know.
But what I do know is because we worked in the same newsroom for many years, we can think of annoying coworkers of the past that we would like to slap.
They do exist.
We're not going to list any names here. And now all of the Channel 13 people are going to be asking us about it one of these days. Who are you talking about? Oh, not you. Not you at all.
Oh,
wink.
Goodness.
Gotcha. So we've now learned that Sam rebuilds engines. He bakes his own bread. He is a part-time chemist. I mean, I feel like we're learning so much more than we did in that early introduction, just in little drips and drabs here, Sam.
I mean, I don't know. I'm an open book, but I don't really talk about myself a ton. So
I know.
Usually
see,
we have to
bring these things out in you. Yeah. Okay. So, the have you put the chemistry to use in anything other than cooking and baking? Shall we say? I mean, do we have to worry about you making anything dangerous?
No.
You have labs in your basement.
Yes, that's what we're trying to say. Are you familiar with the show Breaking Bad by chance?
I'm actually watching it right now for the first
time. Okay, I don't need to know anything more about Sam as a chemist. I think we have resolved that issue. And Selena, no chemistry for you?
No, we have a... So in my school, it was a very well-known chemistry teacher. He would always say he was known for saying, chemistry is easy. And we all thought chemistry is not easy.
No, it is not. I think like a lot of things, if you're drawn to it, it will surprise you and then it will all start to click in. I know I certainly saw that in my sister-in-law my wife is the oldest of six, and I saw in one case a sister go to college and start to just really get into chemistry. And she was like making models and in the dorm room, and they shared a dorm room, and she'd show Sherry, she'd be like, guess what this is? And she'd be like, two styrofoam balls, you know, or something like that. No, it's hydrogen or helium or whatever. And then the other one, you know, just out of the blue is just like, hey, this finance stuff is really cool. And now she's like this big time, you know, certified financial planner or whatever. Yeah. I didn't have any epiphanies like that in college. I just got there and I'm just like, oh, here's a radio station. Here's a microphone. Here's a TV camera. I like this. No big knowledge base whatsoever, which, you know, might explain the predicament that I find myself in career-wise these days. Although I had a big meeting last week, Selena. I know it's weird to think that we are talking about these things since we worked together so long ago, but I had my first meeting with somebody to talk about if I look at retiring in a few years. You know, are we on track for that? And what would that look like? And it's funny because up until, you know, maybe a year, maybe 2 years ago, I wouldn't have even dreamed of doing that. Mm-hmm. And now here we are at that point already. Time flies way too fast.
Well, yeah, I know. When I think we talked about that a month or two ago about you retiring and if you thought about it and how quickly things change.
I know. You think of all the people we saw come by, you know, just fresh out of college, you know. Anyway, time flies like this segment did. So we're going to do sports and weather coming up right after this break. You're up north. Again, it's Weird Al's birthday today, Weird Al Yankovic. I hear those ice cream bells and this is I Love Rocky Road, which I don't know that Joan Jett did or did not appreciate, but Weird Al is 64 years old today. Selena Heller is with us as well, and we're going to talk about some of the stories that she's been covering for Up North News in just a bit. But first, we've got a very large area of rain spreading across Wisconsin right now. If you're not wet, the radar sure makes it sound like you're going to get a little precipitation coming your way before you know it. But to find out what it's going to do temperature-wise, precip-wise, and apparently quite a cool down coming up for later in the week, let's go get that weatherology forecast. And I believe we've got Jen. Is it Jen today?
Yes, it is. Good morning.
It is. Sorry, Jen. I normally get a little note here as to whether it's you or one of your esteemed coworkers like Michael. So it was a total shot in the dark. I'm glad it's you. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Thanks. How are you?
Good. I was just saying, according to the radar I was looking at, it's going to be a wet day for a lot of folks today.
Essentially, that's the case here. Yeah, it looks like a chance for showers and storms across the board today. A few scattered showers for the early morning hours around Amory and Baldwin and also around Madison. Otherwise, a chance throughout the day everywhere else. A little bit of a break in the evening hours, then redeveloping in the late night overnight hours. There is a marginal risk for severe weather for those late night storms from Baldwin through central Wisconsin, with the main threat being large hail, so definitely something we'll keep you posted on. High temperatures kind of all over the place today. Our coolest spot around Wausau getting into the upper 40s, mid-50s to around 60 for nearly everyone else. Our warmest spots, Madison and Richland Center, getting into the low to mid-60s. Tuesday, a chance for showers and storms across the board once again, mainly just for the morning hours from Madison over towards Milwaukee, then redeveloping at night. Otherwise, a chance throughout the day for most everyone else. Another marginal risk for severe weather from Richland Center northward. So once again, something we'll keep you posted on. And once again, mainly a large hail threat for tomorrow. Temperature-wise, warmer tomorrow as a warm front pushes through, getting up above average for all in the 70s from Wisconsin Rapids southward, then around the mid-60s from Wausau over towards Amory. Wednesday, another chance for showers and storms for all. That's kind of the story here this week. Highs in the mid-60s to around 70s for most, low 60s for west central Wisconsin. Then for the second half of the work week, chance for showers and storms both days, Thursday and Friday, but starting to cool off as a cold front begins to push through. 60s on Thursday from Wisconsin Rapids southward, upper 50s around west central Wisconsin to Wausau. Then on Friday, pretty similar, slightly cooler, but actually seeing those highs in the morning around Amory and Baldwin, then slowly falling throughout the day as that cold front comes in.
Whew. So are we talking 30s before too long here?
For
temps or even for highs?
We could potentially see some of that for some areas for the weekend, particularly around Emory and Baldwin.
Okay. Yeah. So in other words, all of us who switched our plans and did all of our raking and winter stuff or winter prep this weekend, we are being rewarded for doing that and not waiting till next weekend.
That was a good plan.
Yeah. Sounds like I did the right thing there. All right, Jennifer, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, Selena Heller joins us as well to talk about stories that she's been working on for Up North News, a separate entity from Courier Newsroom, but we're a separate entity from Civic Media, but we're happy to be a part of it. Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom. Pat's having a terrible case of the Mondays today here, so this seems like a good time to turn and see what Selena's been working on instead. When she was talking about the cooler weather, and I was going to make some kind of a hunting reference because we're definitely getting into that season now. And I've been seeing signs in some places about donating, you know, hide and other things. And that's part of a story you're working on as well, I guess.
Yes. There's a program in Wisconsin through the DNR that hunters can donate their deer for, and they go to food pantries across the state. So it's pretty easy. The program is set up so it makes life simple. If you have a deer, if you have two tags and you want to not have one and you want to give that away, you can do that. If you just want to hunt and then give your deer away, excuse me, you can do that too. So there are processors across the state that are participating in the program. All you have to do is field dress the deer, register it. In some counties, there are CWD areas. So if the county is an affected CWD area, then you have to get it tested. But otherwise, you just call up the food pantries or the processors that are participating and then bring it there and see if they have room for it at that time. And it's a great program because then I think there was like 100,000 deer donated and totaling 3.8 million pounds of venison over the years since the program began in the year 2000. So it's great to feed the families if you can do that.
Yeah, without a doubt. Okay. So yeah, folks, keep that in mind. And then there are a couple of fall-based stories or weather-based stories that you've been working on recently as well, including one with another person who works at TV13, where we worked once upon a time, and that would be one of the meteorologists talking about why it kind of feels like autumn skipped right by. It's not exactly summer, but it's not quite as autumn-y as it has been in years past.
That's right. And I suppose, you know, we kind of say that every year in Wisconsin, don't we?
Yeah.
Do we skip a season because it's always winter seems so long. Mm-hmm. So we always, you know, think two seasons are longer than the other. So that's what I talked to him about, our weather as an extension of two seasons, winter and summer. And so we started out the month in the 80s. So we had a string of days in the warm weather, and then we haven't had frost. So that's odd. We usually have a lot of frost by this time of the year in October. So that's one of the reasons. And he said, and it's kind of, you know, the fall foliage isn't as bright. Now it kind of is getting into that, the peaking now, but earlier it didn't seem like it. So then we don't see just kind of our surroundings. It doesn't seem like fall. And then it's been fairly dry. So that's another indication, you know, when we think of fall, it's rainy and kind of cloudy and gloomy. Well, we haven't had a lot of rain. So then that's another reason why we don't think it's fall time now. But then he said, coming up, it's an El Nino winter. So we look to have not necessarily a lot of snow and below average temperature. So we'll see about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it really feels like we've made a transition here. I mean, just today with it getting all cloudy and rainy again. And from what Jen just told us.
Right. It's going to be this.
It's going to be extremely fall-like moving forward here. So, and, you know, it's not just Darren Meyer, but a lot of weather folks, you know, are where they are because of somebody who has been doing weather on TV for many, many years, and a Chicago institution who has, like I said, been an inspiration to people throughout the country, is hanging it up, I guess.
Yeah, Tom Skilling. He is kind of a well-known in the industry, and I suppose not even in the industry because people watch him all the time.
Oh, sure. But he's from WGN, we should point out.
WGN in Chicago, and he had a stint in Madison as well. So he's well-known just kind of across the board as being a great meteorologist. And one of our local meteorologists, Matt Schaefer at WQOW TV 18 here in Eau Claire, interned for him. And I talked with Matt and about how great of a guy Tom Skilling was, and just an incredible inspiration to him, and how he can just do weather just off the cuff for 6 minutes. They made this the weather forecast long for him, and he could just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And so Matt talked about how great he was as an inspiration to him while he interned. And he bought the meteorologist dinner every night and the interns, and that was a, wow. a memorable thing as well.
I bet it was. And now, I didn't watch him with any regularity, but I know whenever I did catch him, one, you're right, he talks a lot. but the thoroughness isn't talking for the sake of talking. I mean, you really feel like you understand it. And what I'm going to say next is not a dig on TV meteorologists, but more on the consultants who talk to these TV stations and say, oh, you gotta have more weather, more weather, more weather, but it's gotta be just short. Just tell us if it's gonna rain or not. Tell us if it's gonna be sunny or not. And so you get more weather that's redundant, but you don't actually learn, you know, that there's this system coming in. And Tom would be great about, his maps were wonderful about showing, you know, which way the wind comes in around a system, you know, one way or the other. Mm. And you felt educated, you know,
educated.
You about the weather and in a very nice way, you know.
You had a good weather lesson then.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, WGN was, you know, again, being broadcast throughout the Midwest and around the country on cable systems, you had a lot of farmers turning to that because that's where they knew they were going to get, you know, the most complete forecast, especially in those years, you know, before the Weather Channel. If memory serves me right, and of course my memory doesn't, and so I'm going to have to look it up on the fly here, but I thought it was that Tom Skilling, yep, it was his brother Jeff Skilling, who was the CEO of Enron. Remember when Enron collapsed?
Oh my gosh.
Many, many years ago. Yeah.
CEO of Enron. Really?
Yeah. And I think a lot of people at the time worried that, you know, that somehow, you know, Tom would be embroiled in that for whatever reason, but thankfully not. But talk about a tale of, you know, two brothers in one family going in different directions.
That's quite different.
I know it is. Hey, you were giving us an update off air about a story that you're working on about, we have at least one nominee for Principal of the Year?
We did. So Andy Farley is from Brookfield East High School, and there were three nominees for National Principal of the Year, and they went to Washington last week, and Friday they held a gala, whichever way you want to pronounce it.
Potato, potato, yep.
So they named the National Principal of the Year, and it was Andy Farley from Brookfield East High School. And that is the first time a principal from Wisconsin has ever received that title.
Well, congratulations. That's amazing.
It is.
He's not going to have time to do a lot of principaling with all those reporters calling him up.
I think so. He sounds like a great person. I will be talking with him today. He's got a lot of cool programs in place. One of them is destigmatizing mental health, and he has trained students in the school who are part of an organization, a group that he created that help others, like their ambassadors for mental health. So that's one of the things that he does.
That's a great honor. All right. Well, cool. Well, we'll let you get to work on those things. I'll give a few sports scores that I neglected to do a few minutes back, and then we'll just talk to you a little bit later on.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Selena. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Let's get some sports here at 7:27 real quick before we take a break and then go to our Motherhood Monday segment. The Badger football team had a nice comeback win at Illinois. They've got a national TV appearance next. They play Saturday night at Camp Randall. 6:30 is the kickoff on Saturday against Ohio State. And that game this coming Saturday for the Badger football team will be on NBC. We know about the Packers losing to the Broncos. They play the Vikings next Sunday at noon at Lambeau. The Badger women's volleyball team was handed their first loss of the season. Now it's only Nebraska at 18-0 undefeated and soon to be top ranked in a instant classic 5-set loss, 3-2. The Badger women play volleyball at Michigan State next Friday evening. The top-ranked Badger women's hockey team is now 8-0 after sweeping Bemidji State Friday and Saturday. They play in St. Paul against St. Thomas this coming Friday, Saturday. And the Badger men's hockey team swept 17th-ranked Michigan State Friday and Saturday. That 5-1 start is the team's best start since 2004-2005. Let's take a break here, talk to our friends from Motherhood for Good, and Senator Kelderoy is coming up. You're up north. All right, it's Motherhood Monday. Our friends from Motherhood for Good join us, Emily Tyne, Aaron Phillips, and special guest Senator Kelderoy's. You're a mom. You get to be part of the club too here, right? So you get to be part of Motherhood
Thanks,
Monday.
It's a great club.
it is, and it's so great to have you all here. Thanks on a Monday morning to talk about things that are they're a little difficult in that we're still trying to get an answer to the seemingly eternal question, honestly, why don't Republicans like childcare? So we're going to work on that, but also a few other matters that the state Senate has been working on this week. So we're so thankful that Kelderoy's is with us. But Emily and Aaron, I'm going to start with you folks from a Motherhood for Good standpoint. It has been a major bone of contention that the Child Care Counts program has been lingering like this without Republican support. They've just wanted to kill it entirely. And Governor Evers last week reallocated some unspent pandemic relief funds to keep the program going until early 2025. Aaron, what were your own thoughts on hearing the good news side of that equation?
Huge relief. Huge relief, you know, and keep on the admiration of Tony Evers, right? Who was able to, when faced with, you know, maybe an unsurprising, for those of us who were following the story the whole time, an unsurprising result in terms of Republicans not coming through to support the communities they represent, just massive relief and admiration that Evers was going to come in and protect this, again, at least until 2025, right? I mean, I know that then sets us up for this work to continue, the efforts to continue, but just incredible relief, and I'm just really grateful for him.
Emily, what were your thoughts that while the governor is able to find some funding, you know, that again, the legislature isn't being a partner in this?
I mean, it continues to just boggle my mind, and I look around at my peer group and those that I work with every day, and I want, you know, every day I was just like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And so similar to what's happening at the federal level, you know, it's like, okay, the government's open one more day, or we have childcare for this amount of time, but I'm still really struggling and hoping to hear from Senator Royce today. What can we continue to do to make sure we don't have to take these steps that, while a relief, like Aaron said, really isn't how this should be working, and everybody should be behind this. So how do we get them on board so we can stop with some of these interim steps?
Well, that is the big question there, Senator Royce. And again, there was some speculation early on in the fall session that maybe there'd be some kind of a grand deal on tax cuts here and childcare counts here, and it just seems like Republicans don't have any interest in that. So which is it? Is that they were showing some interest and a deal never came together, or they've just always been opposed to helping support childcare in Wisconsin?
I think it's both. There are just were only a few Republicans who realized what a disaster this was going to be, and that if you don't have reliable, affordable childcare, you're not going to have an economy. But those Republicans are far outnumbered by Republicans who believe we really shouldn't be doing anything to help working families. You know, and Senator Knodel made it very, very clear in the hearing that he thinks that if you have kids, you should stay home. And we know who he's talking to, right? He's not talking to the dads, he's talking to the moms.
It's not hyperbole. You were posting on social media at the time about the remarks that were being made. And, you know, again, there was no mistaking the meaning.
Right. I mean, he said that I was denigrating his mother who stayed home to take care of, you know, 8 or 9 kids by advocating for childcare and talking about how important it was in my own life. And I just think it's outrageous, and it shows how deeply out of touch the Republican Party is. The reality is most families cannot survive on one income in this economy and haven't been able to do so for decades. And there are lots of reasons why parents need to be in the workforce. And it's an economic necessity if we want to have an economy that functions.
So we know about the necessity of it. If we take a step back, just because you've heard so much of the testimony being on Joint Finance, the Joint Finance Committee yourself, how would you describe the state of childcare today for Wisconsin working families?
I would say it's very, very grim. You know, we have been in a slow-moving crisis for over 20 years in the childcare industry, and that is because it is very expensive to provide childcare and other forms of care work, more so than families can afford. And we've seen this both in terms of the elder care spectrum and early childhood. 4 out of 5 people are no longer working in early childhood education, people with early childhood education degrees, and that's because they can't afford it, because it's poverty wages. But parents really can't afford to pay more. So this is a classic situation where you have something that is a necessity, the market can't provide it, and we need government to step in and close the gap. Just like we discovered with K-12 education, it cannot be the responsibility of parents on their own. And there is a huge societal benefit to making sure that our youngest children, where 90% of brain development is happening, are getting that high quality early childhood education that both enables parents to work and enables those kids to go on and be as successful as possible.
Aaron, would you be able to characterize the typical reaction to folks who are either in Motherhood for Good or sympathetic to the group when they hear the kind of sentiment expressed by Senator Knodel and others that, you know, the need for childcare is a choice and that it's some kind of a luxury that, you know, government shouldn't necessarily support?
Yeah, I mean, I think Senator Royce characterized it perfectly. It's outrageous. It's outraging also. To one, like Senator Royce said, it's not always a choice. It's simply a matter of survival for both parents to be working, assuming there are two parents also. You know, in a single parent household, what's the solution here? I mean, I would love for Republicans to have to voice what they think the answer to that is. But again, they've sort of proven to us either by statements like Senator Knodel made or through non-statements that I guess they think it's just that single parent's problem to solve or just two parents' problems to solve. I mean, it is outrageous. And as you can tell, maybe from my response, it's outraging.
I understand that entirely because, again, these are folks who are saying, well, for single moms, you know, and there used to be, you know, AFDC and food stamps and welfare. And there was this mentality of, well, everybody should have to work to get welfare. Well, if you're working, not everybody has, say, a family member, Emily, or a neighbor or somebody to do that. The world we live in now, right now, can't change it, requires good childcare.
Yeah, it requires good childcare, and it requires it to be, you know, such high quality. I was raised by educators. My best friend is an educator, and the people who had took care of my daughter during the time she was in a daycare like that are professional and hardworking, and they love our children, and they need a living wage as well, and they need to be able to create a community for our children. So, you know, I was outraged by how they spoke about the people that I drop my child off with every day, who I know go to work and contribute to our society in such a meaningful way. But it's also so disrespectful to the people who take care of our kids every day and are basically told the work you're doing isn't valuable or contributory, and also that their compensation doesn't match that. And so it's insulting on both sides, and the lack of understanding how it fits into the big picture, I just think doesn't compute for the average mom or parent.
Yeah, and we also can't forget, you know, there is another side to this that I don't want to dwell on, but, you know, the reason you want quality child care that, you know, lives up to certain standards about capacity and safety is, you know, because otherwise you're putting your kids in the hands of people who may not be trustworthy, who may be very bad actors in ways that we don't even want to consider. Senator Royce, there were a few other things that the state Senate worked on last week that would have an impact on women and on families. One was some kind of a funding bill for crisis pregnancy centers. And we talked to Dr. Lyerly about this in the last hour, about how, you know, these so-called crisis pregnancy centers are not what they appear to be. Can you tell us a bit more about the bill? And again, I wouldn't dare ask you to speak for Republicans, but what is the line of thinking? Why have a bill to support these centers that don't do what they purport to do?
Sure. Well, crisis pregnancy centers are essentially anti-choice disinformation operations. Their goal is to target vulnerable women, oftentimes young women or low-income women. They target communities of color to try to bring them in when they're pregnant and to give them false information. You know, they falsely link abortion to breast cancer or other health risks. They say that abortion can make you infertile. I mean, all these things that are just simply not true. And they do that with the intent to both dissuade women from getting abortions, but also to delay women from actually accessing care. They use deceptive keywords so that if you search for abortion clinic or what are my options during pregnancy, that you'll get shunted to these false clinics. And then they design their logos and they locate themselves in places often next to or adjacent to legitimate healthcare providers that offer abortion services. So these are lying liars whose goal is to force women into continuing their pregnancies. And there were attempts to give them state funding, to give them taxpayer dollars. Now, I think they should be able to operate. I don't think they should be able to deceive people. We need to have consumer protection and address their false advertising, but they should not be funded by taxpayer dollars. And some of these organizations actually funnel young women into evangelical and Christian adoption networks. So they promise them you can have a safe place to live, but you have to give up your baby for adoption. And so the companion bill to this was one that would force the Department of Children and Families to give public grants to organizations that facilitate adoption as well.
What does it say about their financial stewardship for Republicans who are not only willing to give tax dollars to so-called clinics that aren't actual clinics, as well as to all of these voucher schools that consistently do not perform as well as public schools? What does that say about what they're willing to do with our tax dollars?
It says that they are fiscally irresponsible and they want to fund religious conservative movements and organizations. The Republican Party, in a nutshell, they're doubling down on abortion bans. They want to force you to have a child. They're unwilling to provide any postpartum medical care. You know, they don't want to expand Medicaid. They don't want to have any child care available, but they do want to force you to go to crisis pregnancy centers and say, oh, this is where you can get your medical care, even though they don't have medical professionals on staff. And then we're going to defund public schools so that your children can't get the educational opportunities they deserve, but you can go to a private religious school and we'll drain the public coffers for that purpose. It's incredibly cynical and frankly, un-American, and it's... you know, it's what the Republican Party has been doing for decades.
I'm going to ask forgiveness from Aaron and Emily. We've got time for one question, and I've got to get in one other political question while I've got you here, Senator Royce, and that's because Senate Republicans last week, you know, the nice way of putting it is they failed to confirm or turn down the nomination of eight of Governor Evers' appointees. But what it really means is they fired these people for no reason from various positions. And I'm still not sure that there was any kind of a trigger for this, but Senator, how would you characterize what Republican senators did last week to the governor's appointees?
They fired them. And we have to remember that these are citizen volunteers who step forward to serve their community, serving on boards and commissions. There's an OBGYN that heads up the medical examining board. That's the board that keeps us safe from bad doctors. And, you know, They did so basically because he is a good OBGYN and understands that sometimes abortion care is necessary, and that choice should belong to women. They fired a woman who was a survivor of domestic violence simply because they didn't like some of the tweets that she had sent that were political. And, you know, I don't understand why the Republicans think that they're entitled to dictate who the nominees should be to these boards and agencies when they lost the election. Governor Evers is the governor, and he has the right to appoint them. And to have a mass firing like this is, it's totally authoritarian, and it is one reason why Wisconsin's Republican Party is the most authoritarian in the country.
And with that, we have to let it go there. Senator Kelda Royce, Aaron Phillips, Emily Tyne, I appreciate your time so very much. Thank you very much for coming in today. Have a great day, all of you.
Thanks,
Pat. All right. When we come back, Civic Media News Director Terry Bell will join us with three things you should know to start the week. We'll be back. You're up north. We're going to get to Terry Bell in just a sec with three things to know to start the week. 844-967-2789 is our studio line number. And Bill from Oconomowoc wants to join us for a quick word on our last segment. Bill, good morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Well, you guys are really the lighthouse for reality in a murky world of politics. The ladies that were on just a minute ago, the main problem with the biggest problem with conservatives and the far right, they have no concept of humanitarianism. They don't care to help their fellow man, their fellow care to help build the cities. They have no interest in infrastructure. It's plain as can be. They actually can't comprehend on an intelligent level our constant eyes, but not in reality. So when it comes to these mothers and women that need help, my God, people, wake up. You know, it's not about getting tax cuts for the people that support you only because that's all you care about. It's a lot more to that, and I think they got to be called out. And I don't mean just at the voting booth. They got to be called out in public. They got to be called out in the media. They got to be challenged to defend a right that has nothing to do with democracy. Thanks so much for what you do, and have a great day.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Nice way to start to wrap things up for this Monday morning. Terry Bell joins us now from the Civic Media Newsroom to talk about three things you should know to start the week. Terry, how was your weekend?
It was really good weekend, Pat. How was yours?
It was good, although now, I didn't see it, but I kind of, from reading up on it, I could feel the heartache from the volleyball loss to Nebraska.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people talked about the Badger football big win and the Packers disappointing loss, but oh my gosh, that volleyball match was, it lived up to all the hype. It was a battle of titans that went down the wire. The Nebraska Cornhuskers won by the smallest of possible margins you can in a volleyball match. And it all came down to really not any spectacular play, but because of a net foul, a net violation that wow. That the Badgers committed, that the Huskers got on a video replay, a second look at it. So, yeah, I mean, boy, you know, we both know sports is designed to break your heart at times. Yes. And that certainly was the case Saturday night.
It did, but it's being referred to as an instant classic, and I'm sure for good reason. Want to bring up one caller in on the text line here saying, please point out that State Senator Romaine Quinn from up here in Northwest Wisconsin is one of the people pushing state funding for these groups. I believe that Tony here is talking about the crisis pregnancy centers and others, and that he can be defeated in his reelection. Well, the fact of the matter is the whole legislature might be up for grabs if depending on how that redistricting case goes in the state Supreme Court, something that Terry and I are definitely following. But in terms of three things to know to start the week, let's kind of reset things into Israel, its war against Hamas. And, you know, things could be perilous for the U.S. in this situation.
Well, exactly. The U.S. Already committed to supporting Israel, but could get drawn in more if American personnel in that part of the world become targets. And that's what the Secretary of State Anthony Blinken promised on the Sunday talk shows yesterday. things are definitely escalating. Israeli warplanes are striking targets in Gaza, including places where civilians have been told to seek refuge. So it's getting uglier and uglier all the time. Israel apparently laying the groundwork for a ground invasion.
And one thing to keep in mind, and I did hear somebody with Hezbollah referred to this last week. Today is the anniversary of the bombing of the Marine barracks in Lebanon on this day in 1983, killing 241 U.S. military personnel and leading the Reagan administration to pull U.S. troops out of Lebanon during that Civil War period. So anything that happens there is, forgive the cliche, but fraught with peril for the United States. And it's something that we need to keep in mind. It doesn't mean you don't get involved, but that you understand the risks and the dangers. Unfortunately, not much can happen on the front from the congressional standpoint while the House of Representatives is still deadlocked. Is there any change in the tote board? I feel like the number of candidates for Speaker of the House is changing by the hour here.
Nine by my last count. Nine. I don't know what's yours.
Wow. No, nine is. No, I had seven to nine. It's nine sounds about right now.
Oh, my crazy. Goodness. Yeah. So after Jim Jordan stepped aside, I don't know if he stepped aside so much as he was asked to step aside, but he's out of the race now, and they opened it up to applications. Nine people. I don't know if we have time to list them all.
Oh, probably not. I said that my if I had to lay a dollar down, it would probably be Tom Emmer from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Again, who knows? I mean, we don't even know for sure how they're going to go about picking from amongst these folks. You know,
apparently they're going to be vetted today. Somehow there's going to be a kind of a forum happening today and a vote maybe as early as tomorrow. And apparently everyone has agreed to a unity pledge that whoever emerges out of this will get a vote on the floor. So there's that. I have a feeling none of these nine names are household names, at least
none of them. That's why I thought we don't even have to bother. None of them are. So which may actually work in some favor that, you know, rather than going the celebrity route, is maybe they just pick a good caretaker, you know, to get them through the next few months here.
I'm kind of reminded when there was some tumult in the speakers and the Republicans eventually landed on Dennis Hastert. Nobody had heard of him. So I'm thinking it's going to be somebody, problems notwithstanding.
Maybe, without the criminal baggage.
Right, right.
Maybe down the road.
Somebody who has, at least at the present, seems like a safe compromise that everyone can live with.
One more thing you should know is that the Taylor Swift Eras concert tour is over, and yet she is still making a killing revenue-wise, this time not with the live shows, but the theater shows.
Yeah, an amazing thing is happening in movie theaters, and that's why I listed it as one of the three things to know is because this concert film is really doing wonders for movie houses, which were in peril during the pandemic and kind of struggled on its way back. But after the Barbieheimer phenomenon this summer, we may have part two, because not only is the Eras Tour concert film doing quite well, but so is Martin Scorsese's new epic, Killers of the Flower Moon. So I think it's encouraging. And I'm editorializing here, but it's good that theaters still have a place in entertainment. At home, our situations for taking in media at home are better than ever, granted. But I still think people want a night out. They want to gather. They want a shared experience. Yep. And these two films, and going back to Barbieheimer this summer, you know, people want to congregate and enjoy something together.
You know, and so that's the lesson. Make good stuff. Give good content, whether it's a concert or well-written movie, whatever the case may be. Terry, thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pat.
All right, new lineup starting today. Earl Ingram is next across most of these civic media stations, although you'll still have Chad Holmes in Wausau, Stephanie Miller in Madison, James Jay in Wisconsin Rapids. They're all followed by Asgo's Wisconsin. Then Todd Alba moves to noon to 2. Matt Flynn from 2 to 4, and the Devil's Advocates from 4 to 6. I'm Pat Kreitler. We'll still be here 6 to 8 tomorrow morning. Enjoy your Monday. We'll see you tomorrow.